Today's podcast is brought to you by Dell Expert Network. Cyber attacks can destroy businesses, and when data is the driver behind the success of your business, there's nothing more important or worth protecting. Protecting the organization starts with protecting the data, and no one knows this better than Dell Technologies. Join the Dell Expert Network now at www.dell.com/expertnetwork to learn more about how Dell Technologies is partnering with MSPs to offer their broad array of security solutions.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Growth at the expense of security. What does that look like, and is it worth it? I'll tell you right now, my answer is a resounding no. It's not worth it. Growth at the expense of scalability isn't worth it. Growth at any costs, I guess, is the issue. And today we're going to be talking about how to grow in a measured way that gives, speaking to the MSPs now, gives the MSPs a path forward of hope where they can enjoy that growth. The growth in the organization can do good things and not bad things, and how to look out for those bad things. And if you're saying, well, Charles, how could growth be bad, man? That doesn't sound like a bad thing at all. I wish I was growing. I've been staying at the same size in my MSP organization for the last several years. Well, I hear that. I understand that. I am sympathetic to that claim. And this is probably for you too, right? If you guys are out there wanting to shake things up in 2023 and you're wanting to do something maybe a little different, maybe you're going to go take some, you know, partners on, maybe you're going to go do a deal, you know, maybe do an acquisition to jumpstart some growth. Maybe you're going to hire a sales and marketing team. I don't know. There's any number of ways that could happen. We're going to talk about that scenario. So this will be for you. It'll also be particularly, I'm speaking to you out there in the audience who are already underway with maybe you've got some investors, maybe you've got a private equity group backing you. I'm speaking to you now, all right? Because we're in a unique period in the managed services profession where for the first time really in a long time, although it did happen in the early stages of the mid to late 90s where significant investment got funneled into the MSP sector, but not quite in the numbers in the way that we are today. And it's creating a new issue that we have to deal with. And we're going to start dealing with it today. Actually, we started dealing with it earlier this week when we posted an article about growth, and encourage you to check that out. We'll post a link to it in the show notes today, but definitely give that article a read. But I wanted to go into the impacts of growth and what it can do in an MSP organization if you're not prepared for it. All right, so this is applicable to you who are maybe doing M&A. You've got a roll-up strategy, or you're at least doing more than one acquisition a year. All right, then this is going to apply to you. It would apply to you even if you did one massive deal a year or in any year, and any growth, right? But particularly, you're going to see growth in an M&A situation where you're staked, you've got money, the money's dog-eared for acquisitions, your mandate is clear, go out, buy other MSPs, or go out and buy other organizations to bolt onto your MSP practice. This is going to apply to you. This is also going to apply to you if you just have straight up, I'll call it, the fortunate luck of having organic growth. Maybe you are just in the right spot at the right time. Maybe you've hired a really just awesome salesperson and marketing team. Maybe you've got the greatest managed services delivery product out there, and everybody's loving it. They're the price is right, people are buying it, and you're just seeing tons of new customers coming on board, that's growth too. This will apply to you guys out there as well. It's not a bad thing to seek growth, to seek it out and to make it happen. I am not saying that. I know some of you may have, you know, read and listened to previous stuff we've published about, you know, my views on roll-ups, right? My views on roll-ups have not changed. You can go read about them, you know, make your own decision. If you agree, disagree, that's fine. But I'm not anti-M&A. I think M&A has a very valuable role to play in any business, particularly in the MSP sector. M&A, mergers and acquisitions, is a fantastic, it is the only way, it is the best way. M&A, in my opinion, is the best way, barring some exceptions. It is the best way to deal with stagnation and to deal with, it's the only way you get bad ideas out of the market. And it's the only way or the best way for really good operating MSPs to be able to exit and cash out and make sure that the hard work that they've put into that company actually gets to continue. So both can happen at the same time, and M&A is the vehicle. So I'm very much pro M&A. But if you can do it, or if you're going to grow organically, pay attention to what comes next, okay? So let's get started. So what are we looking out for? What's the issue, you might be saying? Well, Charles, you're saying growth at the expense of security or scalability. What are you really talking about? Okay, what I'm talking about, pure and simple, is if you grow for any reason at a pace that is what I'll classify as aggressive growth, out of the norm growth for your organization. I'm not talking about if you're doing 10% growth year over year and it's steady, it's predictable, you know that it's coming, you can plan for it and you do the planning. Those things are good. If it's predictable, it's good. If you have unpredictable growth of the type that I just described, that's where you may come into problems. That's where it's more likely that you will come into problems. What types of problems? I'll explain. You could have, it'll manifest itself in a couple of areas, but it will probably hit first in an HR capacity. It'll happen in terms of how you handle the growth of your organization and the need to hire more people. And if you have been at you could be a 30 person, 40, I've seen some 50 employee shops that, you know, didn't really even have a full-time HR person, right? They had maybe the business owner who did some of the heavy lifting, maybe some of the interview process, maybe they had a administrative assistant, or maybe they had an office manager, but not really an HR person, right? So people who have other duties, but they're filling a part-time HR role in the company. And you could be a pretty good-sized MSP and never have any kind of stable, formalized HR roles, which are really critical if you want to start to go into hypergrowth. Why is that important? Well, for a number of reasons. You have general payroll, depending on where you are in the world. You have payroll and government compliance things to be concerned about. From an MSP perspective, regardless of where you are on the planet, you will have onboarding. And if you're like most companies, you have offboarding, right? You have customer or employees who leave. You will have to maintain really good structured controls and process for how you deal with people coming into your employment, people leaving your employment, because that's a change event. And in the MSP world, we pay particular attention to change events. Change events are opportunities for mischief. Change events are opportunities for mistakes to happen. Change events, in general are the opportunities that the bad guys sit around weekends, nights, holidays, waiting for you to make. They're just waiting. They're sitting because they're fortunate enough to have a job, if you want to call it that, where they just sit around and wait for you to screw up. And then they'll pounce. That's from a change event. It's from a change event that didn't follow a consistent, documented process of whatever it was. If we're talking about employees getting onboarded, you have a system, you have a checklist, you have a way to evidence, yes, we went through background checks. We did if you're in the United States, you did your I-9s. If you have a payroll system, then you got onboarded into the payroll system. If they're a technical user, like most might be in an MSP environment, they get onboarded into maybe Microsoft Active Directory. Maybe they have some user permissions. Maybe they have admin credentials, if depending on their level, right? These are the things that must be contemplated when you're onboarding someone. When you get rid of them, maybe they leave, maybe you make them leave. You have to do the same things in reverse. The person's no longer there. In a timely fashion, you must know that they were removed from your systems. The same person that got added to Active Directory, you know, at the beginning of their employment, now they got to be removed. Otherwise, you've got an active user with no body, no human, you know, filling that position, but it's still on your books if you never got them off, right? You see what I'm saying? That's where the mischief comes in. That's the change event that creates the opportunity for the bad guys. Process, planning. First rule, planning for growth. You need to be ready for the growth period. Now, if you're taking private equity money, you have no excuse because you know the growth period is coming. There's a little bit more of sympathy, although there's the same rules apply, don't get me wrong, with organic growth. But if you're taking private equity money and you're getting funded and you say, yes, I know in 2023, we are going to go hit the ground running. We are going to acquire. We are going to grow. We're going to aim to grow this amount. Guess what, folks? In that scenario, you have zero excuse for dealing with that growth effectively. Plan for it. And so some of you may be saying, well, Charles, you're telling me stuff that I already know. We've already built out a financial model. We already know, you know, we're going to be standardizing on this RMM versus that RMM. We already know what types of MSPs we're looking for, what EBITDA we're looking for. I'm not talking about financial planning. I'm talking about the specifics of your growth plan as it becomes activated. When you're actively bringing on these new companies, do you need an HR person? If you don't, have you engaged with an outsourced HR firm or a software platform? There's plenty of them out there, a lot of them out there. Do you have middle management structure? All right, that's my second thing, bulking up. You will, depending on the quickness of your growth, you will need to plan for it, but also bulk up in ways that you probably never had to when you were at your previous fighting weight, right? And that does not mean just HR. I'm talking now, maybe you need salespeople. Maybe you need marketing people. Maybe you need account reps to manage all the new customers that you're bringing on board. Maybe you need middle management, right? Maybe you need people who can manage other people because you can no longer do so in a horizontal, you know, org chart fashion. Growth often, frequently, means bulking up. And that means hiring for positions that you never had to hire for before. And that can be really tricky. If you've never done it before, you might be in the position of not knowing. Well, who do I need? Are we at the size where we need an HR person? Do we need a director, you know, like a VP of operations, a director of operations, someone who is just operationally focused? Maybe. but you're likely going to need something. And if you don't get that something, if you don't backfill that something quickly, preferably before you start the growth spurt, then you're going to be playing catch up. You're going to be filling in spaces out of necessity, and it's better to do it than not to do it. But it's preferable to have those positions kind of already filled before you embark on your growth, so that you can bring people into your organization and have these people in place. And when the if I'm talking in an acquisition strategy perspective here, the acquisition targets are going to be far more comfortable when they see, they've actually got HR people, they've got an operations person, they've got structure. Unlike the company that I'm coming from, they've got some stuff that we don't have. That's pretty cool. Yes, I feel much better about this, right? You see where we're going. Got to bulk up. Number three, you will have compliance issues that you didn't have before, prior to growth, and you had better have a way to deal with them. And this is a big, big thing for MSPs right now. I'm just take my word for it, folks. It's a big deal. You cannot avoid this. You cannot not do it. You can't put it off. It's the type of thing that you need to focus on. And back to the bulking up stage, part of that bulking up for some of you, depending on what size you are, might just mean having a compliance person or department spun up in your MSP practice. Now, we work with MSPs of all sizes in our membership. We've got MSPs, you know, who have full-time dedicated compliance people. Like, that's all they do is compliance. There's one person or a small group of people, and that's all they do. There are compliance departments where there is a group of people who are not dedicated to compliance, but they all are responsible jointly for compliance, but they also have other roles in the company, right? There's a number of ways that you can approach this, but you have to approach it. You have to do it. You have to have somebody in the organization that is capable of filling that compliance role. What do I mean when I say compliance? I am not, for this conversation, talking about that HR, that payroll, tax, all those kind of like the bureaucratic things. I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about internal compliance. I'm talking about security. I'm talking about process control. I'm talking about policies and procedures. I'm talking about the very things that you have to do because of where you operate, the types of customers that you have, and the types of services that you deliver, right? And it's going to be different for everybody. But I'll just throw out an example. If you are an MSP and you have United States banks as customers, all right, and you go through any type of hypergrowth period, regardless of whether you had this person or department before, you had better have, at the beginning of that growth spurt, you had better have someone in a compliance role who is going to be familiar with your banking customers' compliance needs, what they have to go through, and someone who is, if not dedicated, they are addressing all of your internal MSP organizational policies, procedures, and controls as they relate and pertain to banking regulation and oversight. Okay. You can take that example, copy it identically, and apply it to the healthcare sector. You can take that template and copy it identically and apply it to legal, accounting, manufacturing, government, restaurants, hospitality. publicly held companies. There are many, many examples, all of whom have their own unique compliance pressures and mandates, right? Mandates is what they are. And the MSPs have to deal with those. And I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. But you, as you grow, and you, as you are going through an unusually heightened growth period, have to deal with that compliance and make sure that it never gets out of hand. And that's what we're starting to see, is that there's growth taking place and no one's paying attention to the compliance. No one is paying attention to, you know what, we just brought on a whole bunch of people. Does anyone know whether they're properly assigned to the right user credentials in our system? Does anybody know that they, you know, are they all using MFA? Did the five people that left last week because, you know, I don't know, they're going to go work for, yeah, whatever the reason. Did the people who leave, did they get offboarded? Did they get offboarded properly? Did those user accounts get shut down? Did those user accounts get reviewed to make sure that those user accounts are A, properly shut down, but also that they didn't, the user accounts themselves didn't get involved in any malicious, you know, activity on their way out the door, that type of thing. These are all compliance duties. And I could go on. I'll give you a few more examples, right? The role of the compliance person or department is also to have access to things across the MSP organization to make sure that information is flowing, right? Now, this is, for some of you in the break-fix mentality, this is going to sound freaky, and it's going to sound scary, and it's going to sound foreign to you because you never had to do this because, you know, I'll just say it. In a break-fix mentality, you have little fiefdoms, siloed walls and units that never have to really talk to each other. And if you have that in an MSP environment, it's a recipe for disaster. It's the opposite of what you want in an MSP operation that's going to scale. You need all of those barriers, those walls, broken down, completely destroyed. Maybe not completely, but you want them to be operationally efficient, and you also need, at least in a compliance standpoint, you need someone or some group to be able to cross any boundary in the company and say, are you guys over here in the super secret part of the network or security operations center, are you guys behaving the way you're supposed to? Yeah, well, I'm going to need some proof because our compliance people, maybe you're going through an MSP Verify examination. Maybe your banking customers are asking you for the same exact things that the MSP Verify questions are asking you for. It's been known to happen. It does happen. Hint. You need someone who has the authority to go across departments and get information and A, make sure that it's following your internal procedure, your internal documentation, and B, you need to be able to extract that information because it's evidence that's going to be used for either your audit, your examination, or for your external customer compliance. And that's not just for the technical, it's for everything. Maybe you need to go to the finance department, the accounting department, and get your hands on invoices. Because invoices, guess what, folks? If you're going through MSP Verify, you're going to need to lay hands on invoices because those are going to need to match up to contracts. If the contracts are in someone else's hand other than accounting, you're going to have to go to that department. Maybe it's a legal department. You're going to have to go to legal and say, hey, legal, I need these contracts, and I need these contracts to, because we need to match them up with these invoices over here and make sure that they correlate. And so now you need accounting and you need legal to be playing ball. And legal and accounting, other than when they go out and get drunk every Friday night, they don't really associate with each other. They don't even, maybe they're not even the same wing of the office. They could be even a different city if you're growing really fast. You see where I'm going with this, folks? compliance and compliance responsibility is yours as an MSP. You cannot avoid it. And when you go through growth, you're going to have to make sure that you develop early a compliance capability that will allow you to keep up with your growth. Because here's a hint. Here's a hint. And not that many people, except people who have gone through a full acquisition growth period and had a sale at the end, really understand this. The compliance maturity that I just explained is like, it's like your central nervous, it's your spine in the human body. Without it, you're going to be a sack of skin and meat and bones with no form. Compliance is going to give your MSP practice structure. It will help you maintain control over the growth. It will allow you to say, hey, guess what? In my compliance duties, I've just noticed that this thing, this behavior is happening in our company and it needs to stop because the MSP Verify auditors are going to be hitting us up for this and this is not going to be good. Or maybe your banking examiners are going to say that, or maybe your healthcare examiners are going to say it, or whomever. Someone is going to come in and say, hey, we need this. And the compliance person, if they're doing their job, will be able to anticipate and actually see, hey, we're not following what we're supposed to be doing. Let's make a course correction. Let's fix this now, right? Perfection is not what we're after, folks. What we're after is reality and being realistic. And when you make a mistake or when things happen that shouldn't happen in your MSP organization, being able to identify them, number one, and B, number two, I should say. Number one, identify them. Number two, correct them. Fix them. Remediate them. Show that you are able to identify stuff. You know, that in my opinion, I've seen a lot of auditors you know, in the MSP Verify process, actually do this, where they will make comments where they it's not that they expect people to be perfect. What they want to see is, are you capable enough to see when you're messing up, and are you capable enough and aware enough to be able to self-correct? That is a really mature MSP characteristic. So again, I certainly don't, and I don't believe most realistic auditors have an expectation of perfection. What they want to know is, are you capable of seeing that you messed up during maybe this 1 week or 1 month period, and maybe you had just some unusual things happen and you had a breakdown, but maybe your compliance person said, hey, this is a problem, let's fix it, and it gets fixed, and next month, and from then on, that problem is resolved. That is a really good thing. It's a fantastically matured MSP characteristic. And the fourth and final tip, knowing when to hit the brakes. If you've got a full-on acceleration growth mode happening, and you realize, wow, things are starting to come apart at the seams, you had better have the capability and the fortitude to be able to say, slow down or stop. Fix the problems, reattach the seams, glue them back, get some structure, get some compliance, fix the issue, whatever the issue may be, and then hit the accelerator again. You got to be able to know when you're going too fast and you need to slow down a little bit. And again, these are all, you know, some of you may be saying, man, I wish I had these problems. Well, I got to be honest, the odds are you probably will have these problems. Given the demand of managed services these days, given the amount of money in private equity that's floating around out there, you know, waiting to find an MSP home, it's going to be more of your problems than you may realize. But make them manageable problems. Make it less scary for yourself and for your investors, for that matter. And do some of these things now and plan and prepare and bulk up for your growth. And you will be far better prepared. You will be able to accelerate more easily when you've done these things. And you will achieve your financial corporate goals faster than if you had never done these things at all. Mark my words, folks. I'm speaking from a perspective of experience. I've seen this over the years. These things will help, I guarantee you. And the growth that you seek won't come at the expense of security or scalability at all. The growth will happen with security and with scalability.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.